What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? This season of Advent that we begin today and for the next four weeks is a season that is oftentimes described as a season of waiting. Waiting. Actually watching and waiting. And so I say to us this morning, what are you waiting for? Oftentimes when we think about waiting, it's oftentimes an experience of I'm waiting for something to happen, or I'm waiting for someone else to do something. I'm waiting for this thing. So for instance, think of waiting. If you're at the supermarket and you've gotten your food and you're online and you're waiting. You're waiting for that one or two people ahead of you. And it always seems it takes them a lot longer than it takes you when you get up there, you know. But you're waiting. Nothing much you can do. Or you're at the doctor's office in the waiting room. And you wait. You wait until your name is called. And in you go. Or connected to medical area, you know, you need to have some tests done. And you're waiting for those results. You know, you're waiting. Oftentimes that waiting is we're waiting for something else to happen. And we're almost passive to it. So when we read this gospel reading today, this reading from Luke, it's a very complicated kind of reading. And I think what we do is we project that kind of waiting onto, I think, this reading. The gospel reading today is described as apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic. It means talking about the end time, talking about this time that is yet to come. And it was a common style of literature in the Hebrew tradition and certainly at the time of Jesus. And I'm not sure it's a type of literature that we understand that well. It's one of the reasons, if you know the Bible, we tend to avoid the book of Revelation. It's just too complicated to figure out. But I think it's because we don't understand it as well as we could. And so it kind of gets, I think, misused. Because it portrays this idea that we are waiting for God to come and do something. You know, it says that we're waiting for God to come upon the clouds. And the idea is we wait for this to happen. And while you're waiting, you better be ready. You know, you better be in good shape, you know, because when it comes, it's going to happen. And so we tend to see ourselves as just waiting for this thing to happen. And I think that this idea sometimes is misused among some, even in our Christian household. A few years ago, I was watching a TV evangelist. It's around 2005, and this evangelist said, "The end is coming. The end is coming next year." There's always that idea, the end is coming next Thursday, or going to come in May, or but it's coming next year. And the gist of his homily was, and you want to be ready, and you need to unburden yourself of your resources and send them to us so we can you know make people aware of this end time that is yet to come. You know, it's so frustrating sometimes. It's not the message of the gospel. What I think that literature is really trying to portray is that there is going to be this time of the fullness of God's creation and the fullness of God's revelation, and perhaps we're not there yet, but we hope to see that. And we get caught up in a lot of the other ways it's interpreted. So we look at it in that way. Again, we're waiting for God to do something. I'd like to suggest during this time of Advent, a few years ago, this really spoke to me, and it's been something I've been dwelling on for the last few years in this season of Advent, is rather than looking at Advent as a time that I'm waiting, I would suggest to you that Advent is a time where perhaps God is saying to us, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. And what is God waiting for? I like to use the language, there's different ways of expressing this, but the language of Thomas Merton. I recently wrote my newsletter article. Some of you may have received that already, but talk about Thomas Merton, a very powerful spiritual writer, probably had the greatest influence on my life in terms of spiritual writers. But Thomas Merton's language is that the human journey, the spiritual journey, is this discovery of our true self. Discovery of our true self. And the challenge is that most of us don't live in our true self. Most of us don't even know who that is. We spend so much of our life creating and developing these things. Sometimes they're very necessary, but we begin to think that that's us. And what Thomas Merton suggests is that if you look at what Jesus did in his life, is call people to realize their true self. And that really is the journey. It's the journey of discipleship. It's the spiritual journey. It's the human journey. I mean, look at Jesus. Whenever Jesus meets somebody, what Jesus is really saying to people is something like, follow me. Come with me. Learn who you are. Come with me and see who I see in you. This other stuff, forget, you're forgiven. Just don't, let go of that stuff. That's not you. That's not you. I see something much more than that. Come with me and discover this. Discover who you are. And yet, this journey is not just some self-centered, egotistical trip we all take. Each of us has this individual responsibility to find out our true self. But rather, we do this in community together. That God is not just calling us to discover who my true self is, but all of us who our true self is. And what is the true self, if you want to use that phrase, of all of creation? What is the dream and the vision God has for creation that we can't see sometimes? We do it in community. Remember the story of creation where God creates, it's the 7 days of creation. It's the first, there's two creation stories in the beginning of Genesis, but the first one is the story of the 7 days. And day one, God creates. What does God say at the end of the first day? It is good. Day two, it is good. Day three, it is good. Day four, it is good. On and on. Until God creates the first human. And what does God say? It is very good. But there's also something in that story that sometimes passes us by, because God says in the beginning of creation, there's something that's not good here. You know what that is? God says, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for this human that I've just created to be alone. There's a need for an other. There's a need for community. There's a need for partnership. There's a need to be with an other to discover who you are. And so from the very beginning of creation, we are these community people. We don't just find out who we are alone. We do it in relationship. We do it with each other. We do it in a connected way. And that to me is what God is calling us to in our lives. God's calling us here at St. Paul's to be in community with each other, to be in relationship with each other. And that to me is the joy of this journey we walk. That's the joy of this life that we walk. This opportunity to be open to discovering who we are in God's sight and letting go of so much that keeps us from that. God wants us to see ourselves as God sees us, and to see our world and our creation as God sees it. And we're called to follow. Called to follow. During this season of Advent, I'd like to suggest an image for you, if you'd like to take it. An image of Jesus saying to you, walking, picture this image. Sometimes I like to do meditation when I read scriptures, but to sort of put yourself in that situation. But put yourself as if you are with Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus is walking ahead of you and sort of saying to you, come, follow me. Come with me. Let me help you to see yourself as I see you. Let me help you, St. Paul, to see yourself as I see you. Let me help you to see this world and this creation as it's been created to be. Let go of the nightmare. Let me show you the dream. Come, follow me. Follow me. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Share your life. Share your gifts. Share who you are. Share your resources. We can make a difference in this world. Come follow me. Be with me. What are you waiting for?